Newsmakers is brought to you by the generosity of listeners like you, including Pam Adams and the Illyopian Oracles. I'm Gary Moore. On today's program.
All right, if I'm 81 and I see someone who also looks older, regardless of their race, in this case a black woman, coming out with a gun, okay, but shooting the person when they're not posing any threat to you?
Legal contributor David Chaplin weighs in on that tragedy in Ohio where an 81-year-old white man shot and killed a black Uber driver. Also,
and I've heard young people say they are voting for Trump because at least with Trump, they know what they're getting. He's telling you right out in front who he is and what he stands for versus other candidates where they feel like they were bamboozled. And in that, I also encourage people to do their research, to look at the history of the candidates, to look at what's happening now, right, with the criminal trial and all of the things.
Chicago West Side community activist Aisha Jaco talks about Trump's popularity with young black voters. But first, legal contributor David Chaplin looks at Trump's hush money trial.
So the jury in the Trump hush money case has been seated. The alternates have been chosen. And now the trial is going to get underway in earnest. What are your thoughts?
It's a quick trial. I mean, I think yesterday he already confessed to the crime. So... should be a pretty quick one for the prosecutors.
What do you mean? What do you mean he already confessed?
I believe after the as he exited the courtroom yesterday, he gave a mini press conference and he stated to the public and to the press that he signed a check to his lawyer and said that it was a legal transaction. But writing the word legal doesn't magically make an illegal transaction legal.
Yeah, and you're not the only one who has that opinion. There have been many political analysts who have said, in effect, this could be used against him, that the prosecution could come back and get him with that. And for our listeners, let's spell out what it is we're talking about. Trump is on trial for giving what they call hush money payments to a porn film star, Stormy Daniels. He allegedly had an affair with this woman while his wife was pregnant. And to keep the porn star from going public with this affair, which was right around the time of the election, he is accused of having his attorney, Michael Cohen, write her a check for some thousands of dollars to keep her quiet. And what you're saying is that what Trump, quote, admitted to was that he deemed it as a legal expense. Now, is that money laundering? Is that what's called money laundering?
Not money laundering, because he's not, unless he was using campaign funds. but if he's using his personal funds to make an illegal transaction, it's not money laundering in a sense, because money laundering is to misappropriate funds for personal gain. And so he didn't misappropriate campaign funds. He used his own funds as a hush payment to try to persuade someone to not negatively impact his 2016 campaign.
But he used his attorney to do that.
Yes. Yes.
So you're saying it should be a quick trial, but we know it's not going to be a quick trial.
Yeah, I mean, they're projecting 6 weeks. I don't think it'll go much beyond that.
And you see him being convicted?
Yes.
What makes you optimistic? Because of the confession, the quote-unquote confession?
He doesn't really have a defense. Just to put it plainly, he doesn't really have a defense. And Michael Cohen, I believe, should be cooperating.
Yeah, Michael Cohen, the attorney, is going to be testifying. But the thing about Michael Cohen, couldn't Trump's attorneys come along and say, hey, do you really trust this guy? He has some credibility issues. He admitted he lied about this, that, and the other?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's all persuasive. And the jury has to determine whether or not guilt can be deemed beyond a reasonable doubt. And I don't see how they don't find that. in this case, not only with Trump's statements, but also with his reputation.
I think the judge also allowed for the prosecution to use the conversation that he had in that bus about grabbing women as a part of this proceeding.
Correct. Bragging about sexual assault.
In a related development, the judge went along with the prosecution not wanting to identify who witnesses would be. And specifically, they're only telling the defense who the first witness will be, but typically they tell who the first three or four are. But the prosecution said, wait a minute, Trump has this history of going on social media and exposing who these witnesses are, and out of fear for their safety, we're only going to allow the defense to know who the first witness is. And if we see anything on Twitter or anything like that, that's it. We're not going to let them know in advance who the witnesses are. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, the court is doing the best it can to manage a high-profile case. And Trump is one that pinning him in a corner will be improved to be extremely difficult. He's had previous gag orders. He's violated them. He's paid upwards of $17,000 to the court for 17 different counts of violating the gag order, because the prosecutors can ask from anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000 per violation, because 30 days of jail time and imprisonment, which is an alternative to a fine, is unlikely given Trump's status and stature, and not wanting to give the appearance of improperly influencing an election by arresting him for 30 days for statements made on Truth Social or otherwise. So my thoughts are the court's doing the best it can, ultimately, and Trump will continue to, like he did, I believe, a day or two ago, go on Truth Social and toe that line and make the prosecution, as they have, submit 7 additional violations of the gag order, in addition to the 3 prior ones they have. So now he's up to 10, which he'll have to have a hearing for on Tuesday.
And he'll continue to pay the $1,000 because it's nothing, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the prosecution in this case for the first three, for this particular trial, asked for $3,000 per gag, but it's still a drop in the bucket for Trump, so.
Hey, let's switch gears from Trump to the unfortunate case in Ohio where a woman, African-American woman, Uber driver, was shot to death by an 81-year-old white man who was the victim of scamming. Both of them were the victims of scamming. The 81-year-old man had been getting emails and phone calls from scammers saying, hey, you owe us money, or we want some money, or, you know, you have a relative who's incarcerated or whatever, and basically scared this old man into thinking that people were going to come and get him and get his money. And the same scammers, I want to say, told the Uber driver or the Uber company to send this woman to this man's residence to collect a package, basically putting these folks in a precarious situation. So when the Uber driver shows up and rings the bell or knocks on the door or whatever and says, hey, I'm here to collect a package, the old man is thinking she's a part of the folks who are coming to collect the money. He pulls out a gun, and despite her pleas for help and mercy or whatever, he shoots her to death. He's been charged with murder. What are the chances of them finding some charges for these scammers if they are located?
I think that the chances are high that the scammers will stand some type of crime. I'm not exactly sure what specific crime they'll be charged with. Fraud comes to mind, but it is a very sad case. He shot her 3 times. He took her phone. When she tried to leave, that's when he shot her the first time, and they started to fight, obviously, and shot her twice again. It's a sad story, and it's sad that, you know, scammers are getting more creative with how to take advantage of the elderly. This type of thing goes back decades, and only finding with new technology ways of reinventing scams.
Yeah, and you have a racial element to it. You know, he was white, she was black. But
correct.
Yeah, as far as the scammers are concerned, what are the chances of them being charged with second-degree murder? Or?
Yeah, it's unlikely because, you know, the primary, in this case, victim, not the middle assessor, the initial victim, which is the older white male, took extreme measures to what could otherwise be a benign set of events. Right, he was riled up to suggest that his nephew was incarcerated and needed a certain amount of bail money to get out, and they were making threats to him allegedly, and you know someone was coming to pick it up, and so he, seeing the person, all right, if I'm 81 and I see someone who also looks older, regardless of their race, in this case a black woman, coming out with a gun, okay, but shooting the person when they're not posing any threat to you or not aware of why you're so upset, to me is just, you know, I think adds fuel to the racial component that had she been in a 60-year-old white woman, he might have come out with the gun, but the likelihood of him shooting her in terms of the perception of her humanity as a white woman versus a black woman would have been, I think, less likely.
David Chaplin, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you for being on Newsmakers.
Thank you. Have a blessed one.
All right.